The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Now, welcome back. Oh, welcome now to Wednesday, May 17th. And this is our weekly installment of Consider This Live, which is brought to you each and every week with myself and my good friend Rob Washburn as we present you issues, usually issues related to local issues. Joining us today is Jerry Ford, and we're going to be talking about accessible transportation here in Coburg, and I'm sure in other areas of the county too. I'm sure Jerry's had difficulty getting around all over Northumberland County. So we're going to talk to him about that very shortly. And as we like to do, before we get to the conversation, a song related to our topic, here are the Hollies and Bus Stop on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Bus stop, wet day, she's there, I say it. She stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. That's the way the whole thing started. Silly, but it's true. Thinking of a sweet romance beginning.
And that, of course, the Hollies and Bus Stop on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7 from 1966. Today we are talking about accessibility, specifically with transportation, and our guest in the studio is Jerry Ford. Jerry, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Very glad you could make it, actually, and you were able to get transportation to the studio. That was great.
Well, you noticed the difficulty with transportation just by viewing the difficulties getting in and out of the bus and that sort of thing.
Well, and in and out of the front door.
And the front door.
You know, so, I mean, today we're going to focus, I guess, primarily on transportation here in Coburg. But, I, if there's time, I'm sure I'd like to talk to you about accessibility because there are, I know when I ran The Human Being about 15 years ago, the Ontario government passed legislation with regards to accessibility, that every place has to be accessible to persons who are in need of, you know, assistance, whether you're in a wheelchair or anything else. And that really has been something that has been your difficulty for how long? Is this something you were born with, Jerry?
No, I have multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. I've had it for 40 years, so I've been 40 years getting from the position you're in to being in a wheelchair.
Wow. So it's been obviously quite a learning curve too, as
learning all the way
and learning about the difficulties that people face in this situation, obviously.
Oh yes.
Well, let's talk about your presentation to council. Can we actually, before we do that, can we first maybe give a little bit of a background to the listeners out there of who you are and how you came to be a person who is an advocate for accessibility?
Well, I've always been very active in community services and so on. And when I found out at the age of 28 that I was, I had multiple sclerosis, I decided to start focusing my attention on working with people with disabilities, knowing what my prognosis was, and the prognosis was not good. Carrying on with that, I started to do a lot of work with people, counseling them, helping them understand, helping them look at their homes, look at the problems they're going to be facing, and working with them in that way. As I continued to progress, I got past the point of being a good counselor because people would look at me and say, oh, I'm going there, oh. So, because they didn't want to wind up in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that has been a slow progress of over my lifetime. In the meantime, I did manage to raise a family and have grandchildren now and so on. So I'm in a prime position to speak out for this at this point because I not only have a disability, I'm also representing the people that are seniors.
Right.
Being a senior.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about your presentation to council, maybe you could take a few moments and just explain the background to the transportation system and how it works, because it's not a very simple thing. It's actually quite complex. So could you just explain, before we start talking about buses and wheels and taxis and all these kinds of things, could you just explain how it works for a person like you?
Well, in Coburg, it's very complicated. And it's complicated primarily because somebody didn't sit down and think it out at the very beginning. We have in Coburg bus that runs with the transportation system, and that is called wheels. Then we have other hours that have to be accommodated. The law states that you must cover the provide accessible transportation. Excuse me. Accessible transportation for the total number of hours that the buses run. And that is 85 hours a week. The wheels bus only runs 37 and a half hours a week. So instead of running the wheels bus on two shifts and therefore meeting the 85 hours or almost 85 hours, the town decided to subcontract the other hours out to a, in 2009 to a taxi company. And that taxi company then provided the service that ran when the wheels bus didn't run.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues to be the case, except it's no longer a taxi company, and the taxi company has been replaced by a private transportation company that runs the same service, with the exception of the accessible taxi. And this is where the primary concern I have is raised. It concerns the accessible taxi. The taxis were provided because they were using the taxis to satisfy this contract. Mm-hmm. Once the contract was satisfied in the end of the evening, the taxi company still had the accessible cabs. You could call them up, and you could pay the regular taxi fare, and there you go. You were able to travel. Now we don't have that in town, and that was the primary focus of my first presentation to council.
So okay. So you're saying there's no longer accessible taxis in Cobourg then?
That is correct. The company that had the taxis mm-hmm. ran them until they died and could not afford to replace them because there's not enough business to generate, or there's not enough business after those hours
right.
to support buying a $50,000 vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So a couple things just to go back so we're really clear. Now, the wheel buses are different than the buses that we see going around town that transport everybody else. Even though we have buses that have ramps and that kind of thing, that's not the kind of bus that you're talking about. So if somebody saw a regular bus going around and they saw the ramp that comes down for elderly people to access, that's not the kind of bus that you're talking about. Is that correct?
It's a similar kind of bus. The current bus has just been new. It's a brand new bus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they spent almost $200,000 on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And this bus does provide roll-in access, no stairs. It's a tremendous improvement of what they had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The past was required stepping up stairs and then sitting in a seat for somebody that was in a walker.
But this is not the same. This is not the same bus that we see going around. This is a special bus and bus system that is meant to accommodate people like yourself.
Oh yes, it's very definitely a bus.
Okay. Because I just want people to understand it's not the same one that everybody else gets on that we see going around town. It's
no.
a special service.
No, it has, I think, 3 tie downs for wheelchairs, and I believe 9 chairs. Nice.
Can you still use the other bus that goes around town, though? I mean, the regular bus that has accessibility access? I mean, is that still a bus you can use?
I cannot because my wheelchair is too big.
Okay.
But other people with smaller wheelchairs, for example, my wife can do that and take the bus.
And also people with walkers and that kind of thing, they can use that kind of a bus to
yes.
regular bus service. Mm-hmm. Now, how does the wheels work? If you want to go somewhere, say to the mall from your home, how does that system work? Can you explain how that works?
Well, you have to phone and reserve a ride.
Is it for a specific time or can you order it for any time you want?
Well, no, it's very specific. They have a schedule, and in fact, this is one of the things that is the next hurdle we must cope with. They run a schedule of every 15 minutes for the wheels bus.
So it's not like a taxi where I would say, come and get me, and maybe 10, 15 minutes later, somebody would come and pick me up. It would be 9:15, or I'd have to book it for 9:30. How much in advance do you have to book a bus?
Well, under the circumstances, with our population growing, population aging, and generally the demand rising,
mm-hmm.
it's almost impossible to phone and get a bus before 2:00 in the afternoon in any given weekday.
So that's same day service. So in other words, if I phoned at 9:00 in the morning, I couldn't expect to get a bus till at least 2 or maybe later in the afternoon.
If there's one available.
So that's even questionable. So if I had a doctor's appointment or I had an emergency, that would not be the way that I would be able to get around. I'd have to either take a taxi or find another way to get there.
That's the option, yes.
Okay.
But of course, there's no taxis.
I was going to say, there is
no
taxis.
So, yeah.
That's already been determined,
sorry.
Unfortunately. All right. So basically, what we're hearing here is that, you know, access to the same service that's available for everybody else is really, it's a lie. There really isn't access for everybody else. I mean, it'd be nice if they say, yes, we are doing and fulfilling our obligations under the provincial mandate. But realistically, for someone in your situation, it's not the same. There isn't the same service available.
That's right. It's certainly not the same service available to any individual.
Who can stand at a bus stop
or can take their own car or ride a bike.
Do we have any indication or do you have any numbers that you could tell us how many people use the wheels system?
I don't have the number, current number. At one point, there were, the number I was given was 400.
400 people. And when? How long ago would that have been? Do you remember?
That would have been probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Now, is that over the course of a month or a week?
No, number of people that are registered.
Oh, just registered. Okay.
Yes, you see, you have to be registered mm-hmm. with Wheels
okay.
and qualify with the medical approvals and so on.
So how many of those people on average are taking rides, though? I mean,
it's not
every day, right?
I don't know those stats. The town keeps those stats, I hope, but I certainly don't know what they are.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, actually. Do you know whether the town does keep those stats? Because maybe they don't. We really don't know. Was that a question you asked them when you made your presentation? Were you able to ask them any questions, first of all? I mean, you made a presentation. Were you able to ask them any questions after that?
No, I was not.
Okay.
I made the presentation about accessible taxis.
Right.
And the mayor commented that there was a litigation underway. One of the parties was litigating against the town,
uh-huh.
and we can imagine who that was. That was obviously the taxi company that had the contract
sure.
before. And because of the litigation, this could not be discussed. Now, this is crazy because we're addressing a need
uh-huh.
for services for people in our community that are in need. And this, we're saying we can't talk about it because somebody's complaining about what happened in the past, and it's going to litigation.
I got to say, because we're going to go to a quick break here.
Sure.
So that, I mean, those two issues really have nothing to do with one another. You're talking about accessibility and whether or not there are taxi services whether that's part of the accessible plan. And they're saying, well, we can't discuss that because we're in litigation. So what that tells me is they don't have a plan. We'll be back after this break, listeners.
Hi, this is Andrea Johnson. I'm very happy to announce that with my husband, David Long, we have created Northumberland 89.7's first husband and wife radio show. Isn't that right, David?
That's right, Andrea.
Every Wednesday from noon until 1, we will be discussing life, relationships, and all things great. Isn't that right, David?
That's right, Andrea.
So, join us and our many guests as we chat candidly about true life events, struggles, and experiences. You can do the next part, David.
Thanks, Andrea. The Soul Kitchen, noon until 1, every Wednesday. Radio for the heart and soul on Northumberland 89.7. It should be local radio.
Long & McQuaid Musical Instruments are Canada's music experts. Ask our knowledgeable staff about Long & McQuaid's large selection of instruments and accessories. Purchase, rent, or rent to own all at unbeatable rates. And don't forget to check out the Music Lesson Center, featuring qualified teachers and private instructions for all ages, levels, and styles. Go to long-mcquaid.com to find out more.
Do you like radio broadcasting and want to learn more? Volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guest in studio is Jerry Ford, and he is a community activist, and we are talking about accessibility, transportation accessibility for persons with disabilities, or really people who have accessibility issues, of which Jerry is a very strong voice. Now, we were talking about his presentation to council, and he wasn't allowed to ask any questions, and council wasn't really able to give you any answers either as to what their plan is, if in fact they even have a plan. And I know you have a question, Rob.
Yes. Jerry, I'm wondering if you could help our listeners understand what was in that presentation that you made to council. Can you just talk about, because there's a couple of key issues that you were focused on during the presentation. Can you explain what those were?
Well, the absence of accessible taxis.
Why is that important, though? Because you've got wheeled buses, they provide service every 15 minutes, you can phone them up, you can book them. Why do we need taxis on top of that? Why can't we just improve the bus system?
Have you ever been to the emergency room and waiting for some treatment? And how long do you wait in an emergency?
Well, the most recent time I was there was 2 hours. So I was in and out in
okay.
3, actually. So
4 hours, 6 hours sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Depending on the severity, what it is.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're in emergency at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday or Saturday, and then all of a sudden you're bumped, you're finally out of there at 9:15 at night. You're too late for anybody's bus or any service.
Okay.
And so what do you do?
So one of the things that we didn't say about the wheels is that it only goes till a particular time at night. Can you tell us what time at night it is?
7:30.
7:30. So after 7:30, if you want to get anywhere, you're out of luck.
That's right.
So that's why you're concerned about having the accessible taxi. Now, who pays for those taxis when they did have the service? Who do they belong to? Did the town subsidize the taxi company, or was it solely the taxi company?
The taxi company had a contract with the town, mm-hmm. and they were paid for that period of time. So that gave them enough equity to, or enough revenue, rather, mm-hmm. to be able to afford to support the taxis. So they bought the taxis, and they had the taxis. The after hours, or rather those times when you hired as an accessible taxi, you're paying just like you would pay a taxi.
Pay whatever the meter rate is, yeah.
So by them supplying this wheels-type service, having that contract made them able to then offer the service after mm-hmm. hours for people to use at a per-fee basis, whatever you'd normally pay for a taxi.
That's right. The contract was enough to support buying the vehicles.
Now, I understand that system was in place till about 2009. Is that correct?
No, in 2009 it started, and
it worked. In place till 20. Go ahead, sorry.
Up to 2014, mm-hmm. and they had, in fact, extended it for 6 months while they dithered around trying to sort out what to do, and they decided then to go to contract, put out an RFP for a new contract.
Now, what was the rationale at the time that you were told they took that step? Why didn't they just carry on with the service? Because I understand they won an award for this.
Oh, we won yes. There was an award, and a national award won mm-hmm. in 2009
yeah.
for this step forward. And the rationale for going to contract was simply...
Cost.
Well, it's more than cost. I think it's the principle of it's a public expenditure, and they should be going to contract.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
But why wasn't the RFP specific in saying that we wanted this kind of service, so that there would be a similar kind of service that was offered before?
The RFP stipulated that sort of thing, and the contract that was given mm-hmm. did not provide all of those services.
Now, have you ever gotten an answer why they didn't follow through and have the full service?
I believe that's part of the litigation process that the mayor had alluded to.
Now, again, I'm just supposing here or surmising, but it sounds to me like the contract was awarded based on the ability for them to be able to provide the same transportation services for persons with disabilities as the town is obligated, or as the town was providing to persons without disabilities. Because, of course, as we know, I think 9 o'clock is the cutoff time for transportation, period. There's no buses after a certain mm-hmm. time anyway. So it sounds to me like what the town did when they tendered the RFP was that they stipulated in that the contract was going to be for the same time period allotted for public transportation. They didn't, sounds to me anyway, that they didn't take into consideration the fact that even after and beyond the scope of the regular hours for transportation, that the taxi provider, and therefore whoever the future provider was going to be, would be able to provide services in off hours as well in lieu of the transportation times that would not be provided to anybody else either.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
They went with what is legal,
exactly,
not what is ethical.
So they did what they were obliged to do. This is the same argument people make when they're avoiding their taxes, right? We have paid, we have provided exactly what we're legally required to provide. So they met the bare minimum, is what you're saying.
That's right.
But here's the other question, though. Why is there not a business case for a taxi company to offer these services? I mean, if there is a need, you'd think that there would be an entrepreneurial opportunity here for somebody to step forward and provide this service. Do you know why that doesn't exist?
Because we're a town of 19,000 people.
Exactly.
It's just not
isn't the synergy of the numbers.
There's not enough patrons.
If you go to a town that's got 100,000 people, they do have them.
Sure. Now, there was another aspect to this as well, and that was the scheduling, the frequency of pickup. That's also been an issue that you've brought forward to council. Could you talk a bit about that?
Well, yes, and that's a very, very strange thing. Can you imagine loading a wheelchair in a van, tying it down, then taking the person to where they're going, reversing the process, getting them out of it, and then going on to your next pickup. Mm-hmm. How much time should you allot for that? Well, the town originally in 2009 said that's a 15-minute turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 15 minutes just doesn't cut it. So everybody was running habitually late. The Wheels bus continues to run on a 15-minute schedule, and it's habitually late. And the town should have gone to 20 minutes at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
However, even in the new contract that they gave the contract in 2015 at 15 minutes, based on a 15-minute time slot or time interval.
Right.
So that 15 minutes is in the contract. 3-4 months ago, the provider said, this is crazy. It takes longer than 15 minutes. We need a 20-minute time slot. Mm-hmm. I agree with them principally, mm-hmm. but in principle, they are correct.
Yes.
20 minutes makes sense.
But in practicality, that's going to reduce the number of trips they're going to be able to make, right?
Well, that's the point. What it amounts to is the reduction of the service
mm-hmm.
because they left the hours the same. Now you've got 3 trips in an hour, not 4. So consequently, there's been a 25% reduction
yep.
in the level of service to people, frail seniors and people with disabilities.
And they still get paid the same amount under contract.
Oh, yes.
So,
yeah, because they're not being paid per ride. They're being paid based on the hours of time that they're operating.
Yeah.
What was the reaction from council on that one?
The answer to council, I have been notified today that the letter is in the mail. They asked the manager of engineering
mm-hmm.
to respond to me, and I don't know what the response is. However, they are breaking the law because the law requires you to maintain a level of service. Once you've established a level of service for disability or for people with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
you cannot cut it away.
That's right.
You can't take it away.
That's right.
Would you take legal action against the town to ensure that the law is met?
I will be taking, if the law is not being adhered to, if they don't have a program to bring it into sync, then I will be filing a complaint with the tribunal.
Okay. What tribunal is that?
Oh, the Human Rights Tribunal and Civil Rights.
Okay. Okay. Now, that's one aspect then, and that has a legal a ramification that you can then take forward and that can be resolved. The taxi issue, though, is not, because they are meeting their minimum requirement for the hours. How do we resolve that one then? Because if they're not going to talk about it for legal reasons, and this is a serious issue, how do we move this forward?
Well, that's where this 15 and 20 minute thing gets kind of interesting.
Okay.
If we went and said, okay, 20 minutes works, that's fine,
mm-hmm.
but you can't cut the number of rides. So how are you going to where's the elasticity in the system?
Okay.
And the only way to do that is to add vehicles.
Yeah.
Well, the logical thing then is to add taxi vehicles. Make a contract with a taxi company. Give that taxi company a contract to cover those hours. And I believe it would be something in the range of $400 a week. Guaranteed revenue on an accessible taxi.
Mm-hmm.
You can be sure that that's enough to generate interest from a taxi company because you've just met their obligations for their fixed costs. So now they're going to be offering, be able to offer an accessible taxi service
now
outside those hours.
They could do that then up until 7:15, and then afterwards it would be like the same kind of system. They could charge you a fee, et cetera, and they would have that as a source of revenue as well.
I would gladly pay it to be able to go to see a movie and actually stay for the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, very interesting. Now, I know that you have sat on the Coburg Active Transportation Committee. Are you still on that committee right now?
No.
Okay, but you have sat on it before.
Yes.
What was that like, sitting on that committee? What sort of things did they do?
Well, the that committee was one of the responsible for getting transportation issues resolved. The perfect example would be the new interchange, or the new intersection at the No Frills Plaza.
Okay.
And if you go through there in a wheelchair or on a bicycle or on foot, you will really appreciate the very fine job that the town, together with that committee, has done on that, in that intersection.
Okay.
And that's the kind of thing we're speaking of.
How, where's this committee working in terms of resolving the issues that you've brought forward?
I'm not sure at this point, because I'm not on that committee anymore. Mm-hmm.
But during your time on that committee, did you have an opportunity to raise these issues?
Oh,
did
yes.
You have and what kind of response were you getting at the committee?
Well, keep in mind that committee was not concerned about the transportation aspect. We were concerned about the accessibility of intersections and roads and that sort of thing. It's a very broad. You talk about accessibility, you're talking about 100 things. You're not talking about one or two or six. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you've mentioned intersections, and we've talked about transportation. What other sorts of things are you talking about when you say it's broad like that? Tell me more.
Getting into stores.
Okay.
Getting in and out of the elevator at the town hall, which in my wheelchair, because of its size, mm-hmm. I cannot do alone.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, exactly. And again, this was an act that was brought in 2005 when the Ontario government introduced the Ontarians with Disabilities Act. And the goal here from the provincial government was to make everything accessible. That was the goal. Every place was to be accessible. If you wanted to get a haircut, if you wanted to go to a coffee shop, if you wanted to go to a nice fine dining restaurant, problems like having, you know, we've heard a lot about public bathrooms being in the basement, for instance, mm-hmm. at restaurants and not having accessibility for people with, especially persons like yourself, Jerry, who have larger wheelchairs, which have to be able to make a 360 in the bathroom, right, under the Accessibility Act. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about accessibility, we're talking about just literally a plethora of things, because people with abilities, if you will, I hate to use the term, you know, but people who can, you know, just go to a place, mm-hmm. never think about the fact. I mean, the closest difficulty we ever get to is whether it's a push or pull door. That's really the closest difficulty we ever get to, you know, and of course we can overcome that. But persons with disabilities, for instance, if you're going to a restaurant that has no automated door, you can't just hit a button and the door opens up, which is pretty much every place in the downtown. If you think about Cobourg, for instance, mm-hmm. or in Cobourg, or in Port Hope, right? I mean, it must be just difficult as all get out for you to just go out browsing with your wife into any of the myriad of stores and services available downtown.
Well, yeah, but it goes beyond people with disabilities, too.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to a mother that has a pair of twins or two kids in a stroller, in double strollers. Ask them what they think about about the push-button doors.
Mm-hmm.
And the absence of them, and the absence of curb cuts.
Mm-hmm. Where's enforcement on all of this?
The enforcement rests with the town. The bylaw enforcement and the building department at the town.
Have you ever been given an explanation as to why these provincial statutes aren't being adhered to across the town?
Oh, well, yes. I can give you a perfect example. The building across the street from the town, from the Victoria Hall,
mm-hmm.
on the south side, the south corner, that was renovated, totally renovated,
mm-hmm.
and has had a number of different tenants in it. Those tenants, that building was renovated, and they did all of the inside stuff, but the curb cuts, or rather the cuts at the doorway
mm-hmm.
to get in, were not level. In fact, if you go there, you'll find there's a step up.
Yep.
So the town allowed that, although the town had every right to stop it. The town allowed that on the basis of there's an exemption under the Act for stores of under 5,000 feet. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, this is going to be a bunch of stores of under 500 feet, 5,000 feet, rather. Mm-hmm. So they allowed that exemption. I fault the building department for that, because I think if they dig in their heels, if they stood their ground, then they would not have a problem.
Well, part of the problem, too, is when that building was being renovated, because part of the, I guess, something we should talk about, which is the elephant that was in the room, it's no longer there, was that when the act was brought in 2005, there was a time period for which people had to adjust. So when they were doing those renovations on the building you're referring to in particular, most of that work began before 2005, and most of it was being done, and they were like, oh, well, you know, you have until X date, and I think it was until 2011 or 2013 that they had to comply with the Access for Ontarians with Disabilities Act. So you had until that time. Mm-hmm. So the building was like, well, we're still doing renovations, and, you know, the spaces are small. They're only going to be small little boutique operations. And so, and I mean, one of the reasons why I'm guessing anyway, why the town didn't say, no, you're doing the work. You got to do the work now. Because one of the other things that was mentioned in the act when they first brought it in was, yes, you can't compel people to do the work prior to the implementation date, which was some years down the road. But mm-hmm. the condition was, if you were already in the process of doing any exterior renovation or work, that at that point you would then have to become compliant with the guidelines, which a lot of them, frankly, didn't do.
Well, it's fascinating how the town and compliance, they're able to dance around answering a lot of questions in a straightforward manner. I know you made a presentation in 2011 where you were trying to get information from the town, but Coach Canada blocked it, and you actually had to make a Freedom of Information request. Can you tell us that story?
Yes, well, it had to do with the services that were being provided in the contract that they were working under. We wanted to find out why certain limitations were being built into the system, and why, what really was the Coach Canada contract covering, and what kind of price were they paying?
Mm-hmm.
And it got blocked for a variety of reasons. When I eventually made the point that we did not want to know the personal wages of the individuals,
mm-hmm.
things like that, it was amazing how the black magic market came out, and the town gave us the minimum information
mm-hmm.
that it was a dreadful situation.
Well, on that note, Jerry, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Jerry Ford as we discuss issues of accessibility, primarily around transportation, but as we have quickly discovered, it goes way beyond that.
Start your week off the right way with a new lunch hour talk show right here on Northumberland 89.7. Jeff Kane presents Northumberland Focus, Mondays at noon following the news. Jeff and his guests will be chatting about the important issues affecting Northumberland County, personal finance, local business, community events, and much more. That's Northumberland Focus with Jeff Kane every Monday at noon right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
In 37.
Bingo!
Was that a bingo?
Come on out to Hometown Bingo and try your luck. Open 7 days a week. Bring a friend and have some fun socializing while having a chance to win some money. Hometown Bingo has 35 charitable sponsors, and last year over $370,000 went back into the local communities in Northumberland. We are located at 884 Division Street. Call 905-372-5426 or go to hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Northumberland 89.7 is proud to serve our community. We are winners of the Business Achievement Award in Communications and Technology. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back. You're listening to The Drive Time on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. The program is Consider This Live. And just for the information of the listeners out there, because I've talked about the timeliness of this, the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, or the AODA, aims to identify, remove, and prevent barriers for persons with disabilities. The AODA became law on June 13th of 05 and applies to all levels of government, not-profit, and private sector businesses in Ontario. So that's everybody, and that have one or more employees, full-time, part-time, seasonal, or contract. The AODA includes requirements that all organizations must meet with deadlines specific to an organization type and size. The AODA is made up of five parts. Standards and deadlines for compliance began as of January 1st, 2010. So this gets to the point I was making earlier about how, you know, you may have heard that compliance was coming in 05, but you had until January 1st of 2010 to make sure that all the standards and compliance were up to date. Some people wonder why we need the act or, you know, whether or not. But, you know, a lot of people, even the Ontario Chambers of Commerce, are saying that accessibility is actually good for business.
No doubt. And I guess one of the things that I wanted to follow up on is that if this is part of the town's mandate and this committee, if I understood you correctly, Jerry, this Coburg Active Transportation Committee, you said that they're supposed to be looking at these kinds of issues. Why doesn't it have a broader mandate so that it includes the buses, it includes the enforcement of the AODA regulations across the town to ensure that enforcement's taking place and accessibility issues are being addressed?
Well, they have another committee called the Accessibility Advisory Committee, mm-hmm. who has that's their mandate.
I see. Now, how come we're not seeing then things changing around the town? Why aren't we seeing more being done rather than seeing nothing being done at the moment? Or not nothing, but not as much.
Very little, anyway.
I think the problem is political will. The people in that on that committee aren't given a lot of rope and really don't seem to have much impact.
You've been an advocate for a long time, and at one point you ran for council. What made you decide to run for council back in 2010?
Because I thought I could make a difference.
And what happened?
I wound up with a drug reaction that almost ended me. So I was in the hospital at the time that I withdrew from running.
Now, do you still have political aspirations?
No. No, I'm past that. I just don't have the energy and so on now.
Who on council do you see as an ally to your cause?
I think I believe most of the council are in tune with what I'm speaking of.
So then why aren't we seeing solutions? Why are you having to still make presentations? Why are you still having to advocate so energetically?
Well, I believe a great deal stops at the mayor's desk.
Okay.
So you're thinking this is an issue that isn't particularly on the mayor's radar then? Is that a fair assessment, you think?
Well, I just don't think he wants to be pushed around into anything that's not on his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to him directly about this?
I've had many discussions with the mayor.
And what sort of reaction do you get when you talk to him?
Well, he's not talking to me now, so I haven't had any real discussions.
When was the last time you talked to him?
That I spoke to him and had a decent discussion is probably 3 years.
Wow. That is incredible.
Now, earlier you were telling us about how difficult it can be with the hospital and getting access after hours to service. There was an incident in 2007 about a person with a disability who ended up getting stuck in a snowbank. I think you mentioned it in one of your presentations.
That's correct.
Can you tell us about that story and what happened? I mean, this is incredible. I don't think most people would understand that this kind of thing does take place.
Well, she was coming from Toronto,
mm-hmm.
Got off the train,
mm-hmm.
and the bus because the train was a little late, the bus that normally stopped in there,
mm-hmm.
She missed that bus, and therefore had to head home on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Heading home on your own in a wheelchair in the snow and ice is very, very problematic. It's a formula for disasters.
Mm-hmm,
she got stuck and wound up taking legal action that precipitated the town actually adopting the wheels system, the wheels bus system.
So this was the incident that actually drove them to action back in 2007,
That's right.
2008.
In short, they were motivated because they had to be, not because of the goodwill.
So right now we have a transit system in town that has a limited time. It operates during the day, you know, early in the morning till mid-evening, I guess you could say. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock it stops.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I mean, outside of that service, which is provided by the town, what more would you like to see? I mean, is there another thing that you can get? Because right now, I mean, it sounds to me like the town's position is, well, we're providing you with what we're obliged to provide under the AODA. You're getting the same hours of service that everyone else gets on the transit service. We don't run a transit system after 8 o'clock, so after 8 o'clock, whatever you can do is up to you, right? Do you think there should be something that would compel the municipality then or the town to provide a service to some degree for people like yourself who would like to go to the show, for instance, or maybe someone who has to go to the hospital in an emergency and get home after 8 o'clock at night? I mean, that's ultimately what you're looking for, right? Is some type of assistance from the town through some service anyway that would provide people the ability to get somewhere after 8 o'clock?
Well, I don't think it has to be at the cost of the town.
Okay.
I think we come back to my earlier comment. If we expanded the time slot to 20 minutes, which makes sense,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's too darn rushed with the 15-minute piece.
Mm-hmm.
If we expanded that, there has to be some elasticity there.
Mm-hmm.
They have to add some vehicles. So sensibly add those by adding a bus. And therefore, you've solved the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else on your wish list besides the taxi service and the 20-minute? And are there other things you'd like to see done around the town?
Oh, yes. And this is going to be the subject of my next foray at council.
Okay.
Is that they've just spent $200,000 on a fantastic vehicle that they're running on 15-minute intervals pickup schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And it's carrying one person at a time.
Mm-hmm. As few as one people at a time, yeah.
I beg your pardon?
As few as one people at a time. That's
no,
right. One person.
No, it's rarely carrying more than one okay. person at a time.
Can it carry more than one person? Does it have
capacity?
It can
carry three wheelchairs and 8 or 9 passengers.
Okay, but right now it's only being used one person at a time.
Well, yes, they're using it like a taxi cab
mm-hmm.
instead of like a bus, and it is a bus. So why not make a bus? You asked me what I would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most of those bus appointments that are tied up until 2 o'clock are things like medical appointments.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with running a medical bus service? The bus service hits the hospital, the various medical centers on a regular circuit, and therefore people know that they can be there. They have this regular bus service.
And it can take more than one person at a time.
It'll carry everybody that's going to a particular medical center, everybody that's going to emergency, everybody that's coming from dialysis.
Mm-hmm. So again, it's not about a lack of service. Perhaps maybe it's about rethinking how we're utilizing that service is what you're saying, right? We should use it smarter rather than more.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up here with Jerry. Jerry Ford is our guest in the studio. And we have been talking about transportation and accessibility and issues of accessibility in the town of Cobourg. We'll be right back with more of this.
Hey, you let shimmy, shake, move, and groove while listening to adventurous stories from around the world. Come on and join me, the Traveler, host of Capsize, every Friday night, 10 to midnight. Remember to ride the wave and don't capsize right here on Northumberland 89.7. Truly local radio.
Baby, I like you so.
When it comes to computers and the internet today, it's hard to know who and what to trust. When something goes wrong, you could call your daughter, your brother-in-law, that kid who mows the lawn, or you could call Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professional. Computer Solutions, located at 208 King Street East in Colborne, is open 6 days a week. They have ample parking and convenient hours, plus you can arrange to have your system picked up or dropped off right from your door. Call Computer Solutions today at 905-355-3622 or stop by their store in Colborne at 208 King Street East. Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professionals.
Keep your dial locked right here on 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
And welcome back. You've been listening to The Drive Time, our weekly installment of Consider This Live with my guest host, my producer actually on this particular broadcast, Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, and Jerry Ford, who is an advocate for accessibility here in the town of Coburg. Now, Jerry, is there anything, I mean, we've talked about a lot of subjects here, but is there any one thing that we haven't touched on that you want to talk about?
Well, I think the primary thing that we've ignored at this point is where we go from forward, where we're going forward. Because we have to look at not just where the town has been, but where it's headed.
Right.
This is the first time in at least four census periods, or five, that the town has achieved a growth rate that is equal to the national growth rate. This time in the census, we've added our population has grown by 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the breakdown of that population, though, we all know, I think, from the press that we are the second oldest center, age-wise, in Ontario, Elliott Lake being higher. But when you look beyond that, you see some even more interesting things. Back in 2011, our population of people that were over 65 was 25%. I'm sorry, 26.4% exactly, to be precise.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, the population that was over 65 has risen to 36.9%.
So that's like a 10% jump, right?
That's a 10% jump.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, I know it's simplistic to say the people over 65 are wheels users, because that's obviously just an indication. But that's ignoring the fact that there's lots of disabled people that are under 65,
mm-hmm.
and there's lots of people over 65 that are not. However, it gives us a good reading as to where we're going. So rather than trying to compress the system and stick just within the law,
mm-hmm.
we've got to be looking at service to people.
But doesn't, for seniors, though, there is a bus service offered by Northumberland Community Care that if you are mobile, you can use it, and that would get a lot of people around. Are we really talking about a population growth that is going to be needing this kind of specialized service?
I think you are misunderstanding what Community Care does.
Okay, thank you.
And I am a regular user of Community Care.
Mm-hmm.
Community Care provides service to take you out of the community, because the bus service that is provided by Coburg mm-hmm. operates only within Coburg.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I have to go to Whitby, as I did last Friday, I went to Whitby with Community Care. They have vehicles that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the goal of Community Care then is not to provide transportation within the community, but to help people who need to get beyond the community. So if you need to get to Port Hope, for instance, you can use Community Care.
That's
correct.
Or
if you need to get to Alnwick Haldimand, or if you got to get to Cramie from Coburg, you can use Community Care. But when it comes to in-town service, Community Care is not providing that type of service.
In fact, Community
not
Care,
to a degree anyway.
Community Care will not provide it. That's against their mandate.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and I really appreciate you coming here with the difficulty that you had. By the way, it took, about 5 minutes anyway to get you in the door, just to get you in the door, because we don't have a ramp outside our studio, unfortunately. And again, this is just another glaring example of accessibility, or the lack thereof. And again, you know, we want you to keep us up to date if you can on when your next presentation to council will be and what we can expect there. Hopefully this conversation will have triggered some thoughts within our council, for maybe even within the mayor himself, to think outside the box. Because, you know, when it comes to providing a public service, and this is something that we talked about with Port Hope as well with regards to transportation, is transportation is a public service. You know, it's not a for-profit operation. You're not going to make money running a transportation service for the general public. That's just the way it is, unfortunately. So it comes down to whether or not the municipality is willing to be a partner, a player, in allowing people the ability to get around their community. So thanks again, Jerry. Thanks to Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, who is my regular co-host, as they say, and the producer of this segment. Next week, our guest in studio will be Sherry Gibson from Alnwick Haldeman.
Looking forward to that.
We are looking forward to that. Taking us out of the hour is the Guess Who and Bus Rider on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, tomorrow, more of the same, more of the Drive Time from 4 to 7 p.m. each and every weekday. And a quick reminder, folks, we don't write the world at Truly Local Radio, but we do bring it to you each and every day.
Get up in the morning, get on the bus. Get up in the morning like the rest of us. Places to go, important people to meet. Better not get up or you might lose your seat. Bus ride. Leave the house at 6 o'clock to be on time. Leave the wife and kids at home to make a dime. Your lunch pail, check for mail in your slot. You won't get your check if you don't punch the clock. Bus rider. Chair. Grab yourself a toupee cause you're losing your hair. Doesn't matter what you do, you've nothing to lose. I'm so awful goddamn glad I'm not in your shoes. Bus rider. Bus ride.